Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio this morning to talk about slow food are Lisa Sadler-Hart and Ellen Frankenstein. And Lisa Sadler-Hart and Ellen Frankenstein are involved in a lot of things in Sitka. And now you've got one more.
We have one more, right. So there's a group of about five of us, some of which are offshoots of the local food network, and we're really interested in this emerging movement called slow food. And Ellen had had some really cool experiences with them directly, as had Tracy Gagnon. And so we thought, hey, what about the idea of creating a chapter here? Because we knew there was a chapter in Juneau as well. So we got together over a slow food brunch one day, I don't know, I guess it was last fall, and felt like we could really make this happen in Sitka without too terribly much effort.
All right. Now, slow food, it's more than just being anti-fast food. I looked at the website, slowfood.org. It's about sort of figuring out what we used to know, right, Ellen, but somehow we forgot.
Yep, because the food industry did an awesome job of selling to all of us and to our parents and the people around us to buy convenient foods and, you know, whatever. So we're just about rediscovering what's there and supporting the local economy and connecting food to the environment. And what else, Lisa?
I think it's really also about learning how to nourish ourselves again at a really deep level, connecting with where your food comes from, whose hands we're actually touching maybe a bit of that food, and what does it mean for us as individuals and families and community to slow down and connect with our food. I think we're really lucky here in Southeast because we have this amazing seafood industry right in our backyard. We also have learned a great deal from the Kalinka people that live here and their connection to the land and the plants in this area. So really reconnecting with our food and with each other in a very thoughtful way.
It seems European. I think of, I kind of have this sort of fantasy of a villa in Tuscany and the families all gathered outside on the porch for the midday meal, and there's loaves of fresh baked bread and big wheels of cheese and piles of grapes and bottles of wine, and there's this sort of European notion that meals are not something that you pull out of a box and throw in a microwave.
Right. Well, you know, it originated in Italy.
Right.
So back in the mid-80s, Carlo Petrini was outraged as fast food industry was kind of infiltrating Italy, and really felt like you were seeing a loss of the diversity of food types and people's connection to food. And it was all about just kind of throwing in your mouth something really quickly, as opposed to really connecting and maintaining these food traditions that could easily be lost. And I think we would all be a lot sadder without having those.
Right. Slow food, there's this website, slowfood.org, and I guess it's an international nonprofit association. I guess they're interested in developing local chapters, and I think you and Ellen are interested in investigating that, and you're going to have a gathering this Sunday.
Right? We are having a gathering Sunday, February 19th, 5:30 to 8 p.m. at Theranoff Brewery. So we're going to celebrate the local production of handcrafted beers. We want people to grab a brew and bring a homemade appetizer to share. And we want people to use local ingredients. And this is just one event. We've had one other dinner, and we're going to keep doing more and invite other people to be involved.
Yeah, one of the things that we did at our last event, and I think it's, and so those of you that may be thinking about coming, you can be a little prepared to do this, is we asked people about the food that they brought. So it might be something that has run in their family and they have a wonderful story to tell, or it might be something about I'm still harvesting stuff out of my garden and, you know, this actually came from my garden this morning kind of thing. So it's, again, a way of telling a story using food. and keeping our connections to that nourishes us.
Mm-hmm. I noticed on the Slow Food website, they want to draw people's focus all the way back to the farmers and things who actually produce the food. Mm-hmm. And I think in Sitka, we try and make the same connection. It was just last week that in the local Seafoods in School Day, they actually invited the fishermen in to have a meal with the kids. And I saw the picture in the paper. It looked like it was a kind of a successful thing. So it's like, you know, we're sort of already engaged in this idea in Sitka, and it's like you all have found kind of are connecting with kind of the larger sort of global project.
Yeah, and I think it's really easy to do here. I know Ellen has had some experiences using her film Eating Alaska
right.
in other countries yeah, with slow food.
Ellen, you are you've kind of become
I've eaten a lot of food. It's been really fun.
But it must be 3 or 4 years ago now you produced the movie.
This film Eating Alaska, when I made it, I was kind of playing with the fact that here we live in this region where, I mean, I knew about the slow food movement. The original slow food people were the indigenous people who really were connected to where their food came from. It was a family thing. It was a traditional thing. And that was one of the things I was playing with Eating in Alaska. Mm-hmm. And so when the film was done, slow food chapters have used it from Kentucky to Poland, and then the fall there's going to be a slow food screening in Brazil.
And they bring you in as a speaker, right? Sometimes.
Sometimes, occasionally.
Okay, so you've become kind of a slow food spokesperson, just by virtue of making this film.
Right, because hunting, you know, is one thing about traditional food ways is they're not always efficient. You don't always get them, and you're in a hurry after a long day. It's not just on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, sure.
And that's an interesting point. Again, the little I know, just looking at the website briefly this morning, this isn't a vegan thing necessarily. It's about sort of just reestablishing our connection to earlier dietary patterns. And I mentioned to you that I had recently read a book called In Defense of Food by Michael Pollan. He's also written another good book called Omnivore's Dilemma, and his main argument in defense of food is that the number one source of nutrition information for most of human history has been our mothers.
Right.
And somehow we got derailed. You mentioned some of the space age of our youth.
And I know most of the three of us sitting here in the studio all grew up in about the same time, and I remember this kind of movement from foods that were prepared to these boxed foods and how excited we got about the TV dinners or the space sticks. That's what those little things were called, you know, in the peanut butter and the chocolate and the vanilla or whatever. And they tasted artificial.
Uh-huh.
And this is about coming back to whole foods and knowing, and again, where did your food come from? You know, and I think it's really hard to tell when you're getting it out of a box because it doesn't tell you the places of origin.
Right.
Whereas it's a little bit easier when you're going to a farmer's market and maybe buying some fish, you know, locally, or you're getting, you know, some produce from one of our great gardeners here in Sitka. I mean, and making those connections. People, you have to work a little bit harder mm-hmm. at it today.
Right. I wonder if you could sort of maybe delineate a little bit. What is the difference? Or where does slow foods, where do you see a local slow foods fitting in sort of in the spectrum of interest that's happening in Sitka? We do have the farmers market. We do have the local foods network. How does slow foods kind of come into that picture?
You know, for me, it's about taking it a further step and actually sitting down and eating together. So as a part of the local food network, you know, we've been working really hard to try to increase the number of local foods and our community's access to those local foods. Next step is then once we have access to those foods and know where they come from, then it's about inviting your neighbor over for a meal or connecting at a slow food event with other people who are passionate about food and where it comes. So to me, it's kind of the next step. And I have to say, every time this small group who's been doing some of the organizing, we get together and we're sharing our own foods and talking about the stories of where it came from, it just takes it to a deeper level. And to me, it's not only nourishing you at a physical level, but also at a spiritual and a social level.
I noticed that the local chapter, if you create one, it's called a convivia.
Yes, right.
Which sort of suggests sitting down and kind of having one of these kind of slow, you know, Italian, you know, in Tuscany, in the villa, you know, having a nice meal. And we do that a lot here. I mean, I'm sure you guys do, where you've got, you know, you barbecue up the salmon and you've got the blueberry pie or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's, I think probably we're in a potential sort of ground zero for doing this.
I think so too. I know one of the pieces that we've been kind of floating around is this notion of, in other parts of the country where you have a lot of traditional agriculture, you'll have these field-to-table events. And we've actually talked about a garden, because that'd probably be more on our style, is a garden-to-table event as a way of, you know, drawing people together. And I just have this vision of you with those long tables with, you know, fresh bread from, who knows, Bridget or somebody else, and some kind of delicious or one or two or three seafood dishes, and that people come together and we pay a little bit, and then that money is donated to maybe the local food network, to fish in the schools, as a way of keeping those kinds of things alive in our community.
Okay.
Because I think our community would be kind of a sadder place without fish in the schools, without our farmers markets, without the Let's Grow Sitka event that's coming up in March as part of Arty Gras. I wouldn't be as happy a person, I think, about living in Sitka if those weren't here.
And I think also part of this too, we're talking about local foods. We can also appreciate foods from the outside and think about how they were made and where they came from, and appreciating the makers. We were talking about bringing in an olive oil guy who was traveling around Alaska.
Right.
And we didn't bring him, but he was an artisan olive oil producer, and a lot of us love olive oil. So if we're going to buy it, maybe it helps us think about, like, where we get it from.
Exactly. And I know that the local food chapter, or the slow food chapter in Juneau, actually did have this gentleman, and he did some workshops and connected with community members in Juneau during our jazz festival weekend here.
Yeah, we can have this strong attitude about our fishing industry here and the traditional native cultures and food gathering. And, you know, we can really focus it here, but other parts of the world also feel strongly about their food producing traditions, and I guess there's slow food is a way to kind of, you know, connect all these traditions into sort of one umbrella kind of organization.
And also, I think is a possibility of really reinvesting in local economies. I think there's so much potential. You know, we're all living in the midst of pretty, you know, dire economic times and with hard choices, and I, at least from the reading that I have been doing, really becoming convinced that if we invest in some of those local food, where the dollars really do circulate very effectively in your community, that could be a boon to our economy. And I think we are right there in Slow Food, the Local Foods Network, you know, Ellen's work and art, all of that stuff comes together to kind of move that forward.
And I want to add to that, we were talking earlier about the kind of partnership between the nonprofit and the small business world, that they don't have to be like, oh, the opposite, that this is the thing we're working with Darinoff Brewery, and that's the type of thing that nonprofits and profits actually are very meshed and need each other. The community needs all these elements to be strong.
Yeah, and I guess you can find out more at 5:30 this Sunday.
This Sunday.
Slow Food will be meeting at the Darinoff Brewery.
So bring an appetizer with local ingredients, or maybe it's something from your background or heritage, and bring your own utensils as well. We're real big on that one.
And look out, there's going to be more things coming, maybe a coffee cupping.
We've got lots of
some
ideas.
Chocolate stuff. Maybe, okay. you know, seafood.
A phone number if somebody wants more info?
Yeah, they can call me, Lisa Sadler Hart, at 747-5985 if you've got questions.
Okay. This interview is getting painful. It's been a long time since breakfast. We must.
We should have brought you some food.
We've got to get back to the news.
Oh, man.
Thanks a lot for coming in this morning.
Thanks,
Ellen Frankenstein and Lisa Sadler Hart are a couple of folks involved in the local foods movement who are interested in getting a local chapter of Slow Foods going here in Sitka. They'll be meeting this Sunday at 5:30 p.m. in the Baranoff Brewery.
Thanks.
Thanks, Robert.